Iran's president urges specific mechanisms for fair gas prices. Iran's attorney general says Iran arrests 8 Slovaks for restricted areas photography. Iranian Navy commander says Iran's fleet in Russia to promote peace and stability in Caspian Sea region. Syrian army retakes control of El Ain near Homs. And anti-Morsi protesters remain in Tahrir Square after Sunday's mass demonstrations. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IYN and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has called on gas producers to define pricing mechanism in a bid to set fair prices for this vital source of energy. In an address to the Second Summit of Gas Exporting Countries Forum, GECF, in the Russian capital Moscow on Monday, Ahmadinejad stated that clearer pricing mechanisms for different types of gas should be defined, approved, and jointly implemented. He said fair price and supply of different sources of energy, especially gas, will tackle inequalities and prepare the grounds for the elimination of opportunism and dominance. President Ahmadinejad urged exchange of technical and executive experience among the GECF members in the field of gas recovery, refining, and conversion as a ground for constructive and joint cooperation. Ahmadinejad pointed out that joint investment in cooperation in gas exploration and production should be increased among GECF members and a plan should be envisaged to help countries poor in fossil energy through working out a clear mechanism. He added that energy, particularly fossil energy, is the most important economic factor in the world, which plays a determining role in the regulation of market and even in strategic and international policy making. The Iranian president further said some countries are trying to seize the world's mines and resources and impose their desired prices on the global market through unilateral sanctions and political pressure. Highlighting GECF countries' possession of huge resources of energy, particularly gas, Ahmadinejad called for global and targeted collaboration to restore their nation's rights. GECF is an intergovernmental organization comprising 13 of the world's leading natural gas producers. The first ministerial meeting was held in Tehran in May 2001. Meanwhile, and on the sidelines of the Summit of Gas Exporting Countries Forum, President Ahmadinejad held talks with his Bolivian counterpart, Evo Morales. During the meeting, President Ahmadinejad said the Islamic Republic pursues the strategic policy of broadening ties with independent Latin American countries. The Iranian president underlined the significance of solidarity among independent nations and governments against bullying powers. He said the development and consolidation of ties with independent nations, in particular Latin American ones, is among the definite and strategic policies of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Ahmadinejad pointed out that Iran and Bolivia enjoy brotherly relations and follow great objectives, which require them to further enhance and strengthen their ties. For his part, Morales praised Iran's support of the Bolivian nation and government. He said his country, inspired by the Islamic Republic, remains steadfast in defending Bolivia's sovereignty and independence. Iran's attorney general says 8 Slovak citizens and 1 Iranian have been arrested in the central Iranian province of Isfahan on charges of photography of restricted areas. Ghulam Hussein Mohseni Ejri said the detainees have smuggled illegal equipment into Iran and photographed restricted areas. Mohseni Ejri, who is also the Iranian judiciary spokesman, noted that Slovakia's embassy in Tehran has been informed of the case and given consular access to the detainees. The Iranian Navy commander says presence of Iran's fleet in the Russian Astrakhan port was to promote peace and stability in the Caspian Sea region. Rear Admiral Habibullah Sayyari said on Monday that the Iranian Navy dispatched two warships, the Joshan and the Pekon, to Astrakhan to convey the message of peace and friendship from the Iranian nation to Russia and other littoral states of the Caspian Sea. Sayyari also announced that Fateh submarine has been designed and manufactured by Iranian experts and will be unveiled by the end of the current Iranian calendar year, ending in March 20, 2014. He added that the new submarine will once more prove the Iranian Navy's capability to manufacture, equip, and utilize its own fleet of submarines. Sayyari stated that Iran will continue the path in view of meeting domestic maritime needs in a bid to have a strong presence in international waters and build subsurface equipment. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has dismissed as baseless allegations of the Islamic Republic's involvement in the ongoing Syrian crisis. Abu Sarakhchi was reacting to Bahraini foreign minister Sheikh Khalid bin Ahmad bin Mohammed Al Khalifa's accusation of Iran sending militants into Syria. Describing the remarks as irrational and baseless, Araghchi said the remarks indicated Bahrain's lack of understanding about the ongoing developments in Syria. He said some of these countries that claim such baseless allegations have aborted any sort of political solution by adopting hostile policies and have instigated the massacre of the Syrian people by supporting for armed Takfiri groups under the pretext of supporting the defenseless Syrian nation. Araghchi also reacted to a statement adopted on Sunday jointly by the PGCC and the EU and Manama about Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program, as well as its sovereignty of the three Persian Gulf islands of Greater and Lesser Tums and Abu Musa. He said repetitive remarks about the three Iranian islands and unfounded allegations about Iran's nuclear energy program are clear examples of their lack of knowledge about the existing facts and realities in the sensitive region of the Persian Gulf. Syrian army has taken full control of the Al Ain farmlands on the outskirts of the central city of Homs. The army said it took full control of the district on Monday, and it has already mapped up pockets of foreign-backed militants in several neighborhoods of the strategic city, killing a large number of them. Syrian troops have been conducting a fierce three-day assault against militants in Homs. Earlier, militants carried out a car bomb attack in the country's central city of Hama. The booby-trapped car went off near a cultural center in the city. Government forces have also made significant gains in other battlefields across the crisis-hit country. Anti-Syria Takfir extremists have been behind many of the deadly bombings targeting both civilians and government institutions across the country since the outbreak of the violence. Meanwhile, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said work still needs to be done on organizing an international peace conference in Syria dubbed Geneva II.
The reason why they are not able to confirm a date when this international conference in Geneva can take place is that, first of all, there are some issue of who will represent the Syrian people. It's expected that both parties from government side and opposition group will send their delegation. We expect that those delegations, particularly from opposition groups, will send their delegation united and coherent, who can really represent the voices and positions of opposition the groups. And also, we also expect that the government delegation will also be fully empowered so that they can fully engage in negotiations with the Joint Special Envoy, Lakhdar Brahimi. And there is another issue of a scope of participation, particularly Iran and Saudi Arabia. Member states have not been able to agree on, you know, whether or in if they their voices need to be heard, then in what way?
And here's a recap of tonight's top stories. Iran's president urges a specific mechanisms for fair gas prices. Iran's attorney general says Iran arrests 8 Slovaks for restricted areas photography. Iranian Navy commander says Iran's fleet in Russia is to promote peace and stability in Caspian Sea region. Syrian army retakes control of Al Ain near Homs. And anti-Morsi protesters remain in Tahrir Square after Sunday's mass demonstrations. Protesters seeking to force Egypt's president from office thronged the streets of the capital Cairo, as well as other cities around the country. Some protesters spent the night in dozens of tents pitched in the capital's Tahrir Square and near the palace. Protest organizers say they will hold those positions until President Mohamed Morsi resigns. Meanwhile, hundreds of uniformed police officers were joined by civilians on a march in Alexandria, calling for the downfall of the government of Egyptian president. Elsewhere, the Egyptian Health Ministry says 16 people were killed in protests across the country on Sunday. The ministry also said on Monday that at least 8 people were killed in clashes between supporters and opponents of Egypt's President Morsi outside a Muslim Brotherhood headquarters in Cairo. In the meantime, the headquarters of Egypt's ruling Muslim Brotherhood was overrun by youths who ransacked the building after those inside were evacuated following a night of violence that killed at least 7 people. This comes as supporters of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi continue to protest, condemning the attack on the Muslim Brotherhood's headquarters.
The battle between us and other forces is not a battle over offices and headquarters. A headquarter can be built or destroyed, and it doesn't matter to us. The battle is over the identity of this state right now. Since the revolution happened, the forces that we call secular are fighting, so the Egypt's identity will not be an Islamic identity. But I insist that Egypt's identity must be Islamic. They can burn headquarters. It's easy to rebuild them, but this is a battle over the country's identity.
They don't want us to go down the path of legitimacy, but instead down the path of violence. But we are steadfast. The country is more important than our headquarters. Egypt is more important than our headquarters. So we need to think of Egypt, which will protect us and all Egyptians.
In Greece, the government has set up new measures to defend the legal immigrants' rights. The move comes after racist attacks against immigrants have recently increased in the country. The government also set up further measures to combat against illegal migration and human trafficking. My colleague has more.
In the middle of a soaring crisis and with legal immigration having changed radically the socio-economic map of the country over the past 10 years, the Greek government is now taking measures to address growing extremism and assaults against immigrants. A latest initiative of the government in this direction is the anti-racist squad that was formed after the stabbing of a Pakistani citizen living in Athens. Irene TV accompanied a team of frontline police officers on patrol to get a better understanding of the dynamics on the ground. According to the police, there are now 2 units and 68 offices with more than 200 officers that tackle surging racist violence, illegal immigration, and networks of human trafficking. In addition, the Xenios Zevs operation has already proceeded to 5,466 arrests. Another worrisome index, the Hellenic Statistics Authority officially announced yesterday that 1,245 suicides took place from 2009 to 2011, a huge increase compared to previous years. In the meanwhile, some weeks ago, Prime Minister Samaras withdrew his support for a new anti-racist bill after saying the existing laws are sufficient, leaving his former partners alone in presenting their own drafts. With four anti-racism bills on the table, analysts said the likelihood of any passing was remote unless the parties could come together. Along with the ERT shutdown, the anti-racist bill debacle led to the reshuffling of the Greek government.
Illegal immigration coupled with a soaring economic crisis has completely changed the socio-economic indexes of the country. With 1.5 million people unemployed, there is a dormant yet soaring social crisis at the outskirts of the country. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Aten.
And on that note,
outskirts of the country. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Aten.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRBI and in English News. Join us with the latest updates at 2 a.m. local time. Goodbye now.